Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations, the third chapter, this Thanksgiving Sunday. Every Sunday's Thanksgiving Sunday. But this Thursday we celebrate and give thanks to the Lord, and we focus our heart and mind towards the Lord this Lord's Day. Appreciate all the good music today and the Lighthouse. I like the men's group. That's fantastic. As they sang, and the choir song, of course, was tremendous. And as the men's group sang the official song of the Outer Banks, that was fantastic. No, it was good. But Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations 3, this Thanksgiving season, we can be thankful. Let me tell you today, we can be thankful that He is faithful. Now, Lamentations is not typically a book we would look to when we think about Thanksgiving. It's been described as the wailing wall of the Bible. One commentator said that Lamentations is filled with tears and sorrow. It's a poem of pity, a proverb of pathos. It's a hymn of heartbreak, a psalm of sadness, a symphony of sorrow, and a story of suffering. I think that's a good summary. The book of Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, is presiding over the funeral of his city, Jerusalem, and his nation, Judah. The year was 586 BC. The Babylonians had come and captured the city of Jerusalem, burning it with fire. Thousands upon thousands were dying in the streets of Jerusalem as Jeremiah writes what he saw. There was no food or water. Disease was spreading rapidly. The temple had been burned, that which was invested in by so much in Solomon's reign, and the heartbeat of the nation was burned to the ground, the temple of God. It became so bad that the people resorted even to cannibalism. And Jeremiah, like a war correspondent, records what he sees, what he smells and hears. He laments, meaning he weeps over his city. In the book of Lamentations, grammatically, there are five funeral songs or dirges in this book. And they're arranged like acrostic poems, each line beginning with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's a modicum of order and structure in the midst of chaos. And by the way, when things seem to be out of control, organize or agonize. Put things in where you can control. Have some order in your chaos. I can say that because I'm a little bit OCD, so I like the fact that God breathed out an acrostic during a time of confusion. Makes me a little happy. These verse divisions and Lamentations are inspired divisions. If you'll notice, there are 22 verses in each chapter. 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There are three divisions in chapter 3. Three times God repeats Himself through the alphabet. In chapter number 5, the order is actually broken. And Jeremiah just breaks loose and weeping and lamenting before the Lord. And the book actually closes a little bit out of order. The book ends just kind of blank and open-ended. But here in chapter 3, in the midst of the book, after it's gone from bad to worse, now I encourage you to read through it. It's really not too encouraging until you come to this passage at all. In fact, it's the entire idea is it's been in the minor key in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. Some pretty amazing statements and depressing statements are made in this book. But we arrive at an island of hope in an ocean of despair. Like a bright, flickering light in the darkness, we come across this passage. So if you found your place, let me ask you to stand. We must stand for this passage, Jeremiah and Lamentations chapter 3. Would you stand if you found your place? Jeremiah 3, and if you haven't, it's on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 3 says in verse number 21, the prophet says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And I want us to say this final phrase together. We sang it earlier in the service. Would you say it together? Great is Thy faithfulness. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention to that phrase. Great is Thy faithfulness. This morning, let us be reminded that we serve a faithful God. You say, Pastor, what can I be thankful about today? Be thankful that He is faithful. Be thankful that He is faithful. If you get nothing else out of the message, get that. Write that down somewhere. Be thankful, for He is faithful. That's a theme throughout the Bible and in the Psalms. In Psalm 36, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." The psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 10, "I will not hide Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness in Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation." The psalmist says in Psalm 89, verse 1, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations." You see, Jeremiah had heard those songs sung in the temple. That was a part of his heart and his mind. And he, in obedience to those psalms that he had heard and sung, moved by the Spirit in the midst of his suffering, in a sense, he makes a decision. "I'm not going to hide His righteousness any longer in my heart. I believed, and so I'm going to speak. I'll declare His faithfulness and His salvation. I won't conceal His loving kindness any longer just because of the way I feel. I'm not going to hide the truth of who He is from the great congregation of Israel. I'm going to stand up and declare, great is Thy faithfulness." What a tremendous decision. Jeremiah, after living a life of being rejected, hated, mocked, imprisoned, ignored, after seeing his beloved Jerusalem ransacked, desecrated, and destroyed, after experiencing the horrors of war and the brutality of the enemy and the pangs of hunger, the prophet Jeremiah was still able to stand up and stand forth amidst all the rubble of the city and the bodies of the dead and lift up his voice in thanksgiving to God and say, "Great is Thy faithfulness." And let me tell you, Tabernacle Baptist Church, it's time this Thanksgiving season in 2020, we get our eyes off the politicians. We get our eyes off the problems. We get our eyes off the pestilence in this land and get it back on the providence and the faithfulness of the Lord. It's time we praise the Lord. It's time we lift up the Lord. It's time we thank God. Hey, Jeremiah doesn't say, "Great is my finances." He doesn't say, "Great is my family and all my friendships this Thanksgiving." He doesn't say, "Great is my physical well-being," but he says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Hey, when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. Great is His faithfulness. And Jeremiah doesn't declare this based upon what he sees around him. If there's ever a time that you would not say, "Great is His faithfulness," if there's ever a time that there would not be a Thanksgiving service, it would have been 586 BC. You say, "Well, that's 2020. No, it's much worse then. But Jeremiah has a Thanksgiving service in the midst of his suffering because he takes what's in front of him and he filters it through a theological framework, and specifically the providence and the faithfulness of God. And friend, we can do that in 2020. In fact, we must do that. Let's no longer hide His righteousness in our heart. Let's no longer conceal His truth in the congregation. Let's have a pie and praise. Let's have a thanksgiving. Let's focus on the Lord. Let's stop singing the blues and start sounding the praises of our God. And we can do that all the time because He's always faithful. We can be always thankful because He's always faithful. I want us to walk through the passage this morning, and because I like order, we're going to give you 4 G's, all right? So number one, if you don't like it, I've got a secondary outline for the rest of y'all. But number one, God is faithful in His grace and His mercy and His loving kindness and His love. Look at verse number 29. Jeremiah says, "This I recall." Do you realize that's where it starts, in the mind, not the emotions? "I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope." Maybe you have no hope today because you need to bring some things to your mind. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Jeremiah says, "I have to remind myself." Is anybody else out there that just has to remind yourself? Because what you see, you're really not thankful for. What you see really doesn't prompt any praise, but you need to remind and can remind yourself, recall to your mind some things about God that bring hope. This was not in the realm of his emotion, but the realm of his mind. He says, "It's bad, But it could be worse. In fact, it should be worse. He says, if you really think about it, we don't even deserve to be alive right now. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed or utterly destroyed. He says, we're still here because of His mercy. Aren't you thankful for the mercies of God? Hey, listen, in 2020, the theme and the movement this year has been what? Justice. And we've heard it. Justice, social justice. And everybody is crying out for justice and justice and justice. Give me justice. And let me tell you something today. This Thanksgiving season, I don't want the justice of God. I just want His mercy. I'm thankful I don't have His justice. Say, God's not fair. No, He's not. If He were fair, you would be in hell today. He is loving. He is grace. He is love. I need tender mercies. This word mercies is the word chassid. You have to almost say it with a ch sound, all right? So chassid is a powerful term. It's plural. Do you see that? It's plural, letting us know that it's so immense it cannot be summarized by in the singular. It's mercies. 250 times in your Bible, in the Old Testament specifically, you'll find this word chassid. It's translated often loving kindness. The loving kindness of God is a very expressive personal term conveying all of what encompasses the love, the kindness, the grace, and the mercies of God. And the only way to really describe it is mercies, plural. It's a covenant term referring to the loyal love of Jehovah God. In Jeremiah, filtering through the smoke and seeing through the smoke of judgment, centers on the mercies of God. The covenant of the Lord is what keeps him going. And Jeremiah focuses on the fact that the Lord God of heaven had made a covenant, had given a promise to Abraham, that Abraham's seed would bless the nations of all the earth. Abraham had been given that promise. David had been given a promise that his descendant would be seated upon his throne forever. And he said this, based upon his word, I know the Lord is always going to keep his word. And he's going to act out in love, kindness, grace, and mercy toward me. And even though it doesn't feel like it, it is part of his grace and his mercy. You think about the Edomites, they're not there today. You think about the Moabites and all those that were condemned and consumed in the Old Testament. But Israel is still here today. And Israel will always be the apple of God's eye. It's the loyal love, the grace, the mercy of God. The covenant kept him going. The mercy has helped him make it through. Hey, listen today, if you don't have anything to be thankful for, be thankful he's faithful. Consider the covenant of God. Meditate upon the mercies. You say, well, I'm not a part of the Old Testament covenant. But listen, we've got a covenant suite that was written for me. It was signed and sealed on a cross. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the covenant that we have. If you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've been saved, if you've been born again by His grace, He saved you. He's sealed you. He's secured you. He's sanctified you. And even when He sets you straight in chastisement, He'll see you through because of His love and His grace and His mercy and His loving kindness. Oh, the dark side of the providence of God is still the providence of God. He's sovereign over the suffering. He's sovereign over the storm. He's still in control. That's why a believer can say, like the Apostle Paul said, we are troubled, yes, on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Listen today, I can be thankful. I'm covered by the covenant. I'm not going to hell. I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm moved by His mercies. I'm thankful today for His love. I'm thankful today for His kindness. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful for His mercy in the midst of mayhem. Oh, He gives to me His grace. That's what I don't deserve. And he gives to me His mercy. He doesn't give me what I deserve. Right, as a kid, I would play mercy. And I was always win with my brother, of course. I'm going to see him this week, so I got to rub that in. And he would cry out and he would say, mercy. Why? Because he deserved to be stomped down. But listen, I let him go because I had a little mercy. He put out a word. I'm glad today when it feels like you're being crushed, you can cry out for mercy. You can cry out for grace, and you can trust him and thank him and praise him. I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. Every single one of us today deserves to be in hell this morning. Condemned. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God is faithful in his loving kindness, his mercies, his grace, his love, his tender kindness. Number two, God is faithful in his gifts. I can't see what you're looking at. Sometimes I got to look at that. All right. Verse 22. Because his compassions fail not. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, so often we sing and we say, great is, or his faithfulness, we sing, his mercies are new every morning. But if you look at it closely, the antecedent of the text is not necessarily mercies first. The closest antecedent is compassions. His mercies are new because his compassions fail not. His compassions are new, so that means his mercies are new. The interpretation here in the text means this. If you have made it to another day, and I'm looking at everybody today that's made it to another day, you should be thankful. You should wake up and thank the Lord and praise the Lord that he's brought you through another day to live. If your heart is still beating, and I hope it is today, if you can still breathe, thank the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I like that old gospel song. I said he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. It doesn't matter what the day brings, I go in Jesus' name. I've got trouble to the left of me. I've got trouble on my right. I'm not focused on no trouble. I'm focused on Jesus Christ. So let's lift our hands to heaven. Let his spirit fill this place. Let us lift our hands to heaven and give him praise for saving grace. Our scripture reading, did you notice a prescription? Here's a prescription for what to do in times of sorrow and lamenting and crying. Here's what to do. Here's how to be thankful for him being faithful. Psalm 92 verse 2 says that we show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Do you see what it said? Every morning, get up and thank him for his love. In fact, if you do that the first thing every morning, I'm telling you, your day is going to go a whole lot better. You wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy and grace. Lord, thank you for your love. Focus on the love of the Lord. Then it says this, and thy faithfulness every night. Let's try it for this week, Thanksgiving week. Would you do it? Every morning get up and say, Lord, thank you for your love. Then every night say, thank you for looking out for me. Before you go to bed, thank the Lord for looking out for you that day. He brought you through that day. He'll bring you through the night, bring you the next morning. If you wake up in the morning, thank him for his love. When you go to bed that night, thank him for looking out for you. Watch what that does to your heart and to your mind. The illustration, the interpretation is bringing through another day. The illustration, the text is manna. Compassions are plural as well. This speaks of his compassion, speak of his active provision. The word mercies is in the feminine. This word for compassions is the word for a womb. Just like when we were in the womb, our mother nourished us. So the Lord every day gives us what we need. You can't explain it, but the providence of God. If God can take care of that one and take care of you in the womb, he'll take care of you today. Oh, it's the care of a mother for a feeding child. Hey, listen, there are mercies in the midst of mayhem. But there are resources. God's resources will always meet your need. There are mercies in the midst of your mayhem, and God's resources will always meet your need. I shared often how one of my favorite instructors in seminary, Dr. Harry Nonnemaker, would say every morning, just imagine his mercies and his compassions like manna. It's hovering over you as you lay in the bed and look up. It's almost as if the mercies and the compassions of the Lord are hovering over you. Just reach out and receive his mercy. Reach out and receive his grace. Reach out and receive his love. Trust him. Lean upon him. He'll give you just enough to make it through that day. I think about Israel for 40 years, gathered manna every morning. They tried, if they tried to store it, except for the Sabbath, it would spoil. It would melt when the sun waxed hot. But listen, that's what God gives you. He doesn't give you strength for tomorrow, today. He gives you strength today. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory." 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." You say, "I don't have much to be thankful for." Do you have food? Some of y'all look very well fed, all right? You've got food, amen? Do you have raiment? Everybody here is clothed. Be content. That's what the Bible says. If you've got food and raiment, be content. He's not going to provide all your greeds, but he will provide all of your needs. If your needs are met this morning, thank the Lord. If you've got food and raiment today, praise the Lord. That means this: I don't need to rush ahead or second guess God. Just like Elijah's widows, or Elijah's ravens that brought the food on a daily basis, or that widow's oil, God will give you what you need when you need it. He's in time, on time, every time. Just trust him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." It's after here weeping, Jeremiah looks up and worships and says, "Great is thy faithfulness." Hey, think about this past year. God's been faithful. Hasn't he given you everything that you need? Hasn't he taken care of you? Hasn't he brought you through? Hey, listen, when things get a little low, he took care of you. I'm telling you, there are times that you'll get low because that'll help you look up. And that's when we know, great is thy faithfulness. If we never had a problem, maybe we never have a prayer request. If we never had a trial, maybe we never take it to the Lord in prayer. God allows this into our life to bring us close to him. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful in his grace. God is faithful in his compassions and his gifts, his mercies, his compassions. Number three, God is faithful in who he is in his goodness. Look at verse 24. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good." Hallelujah for that. "Unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him." Hey, there's a statement. Let's try it out. You may have heard it. God is good all the time. All right. Yeah, some of y'all know that. Let's try it again. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. That's the truth. He says the Lord is good. He's your portion. Meaning he satisfies the soul. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he set eternity in the heart. Until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that world that's in your heart, there's a God-sized hole that only Jesus can fill. He's your portion. He's the only one that can satisfy. No sin will satisfy. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the end thereof, the ways of death. God can satisfy your soul. And the soul that seeks after the Lord, the soul that tries to find Jesus, the Lord meets their need. My dad had a bumper sticker in the back of our car for years. Jesus is all you need. Be thankful for that. Listen, Jesus is all you need. Amen. Well, I need this. No, Jesus is all you need. And when you have Jesus, you get it all. It's a theme throughout Scripture. If you want to meditate upon these verses or jot them down, Psalm 34, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Jeremiah had already said this in Jeremiah 33, verse 11. Jeremiah, thinking about it during his prophecy, said, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord." Here's what he's saying. Those that love the Lord and live for the Lord and look for the Lord, even though it gets dark, even though you're going to go through times of captivity and times of suffering, if you look to the Lord and live for the Lord and praise the Lord and lift up his name, the Lord will carry you through. He'll bring you back. He's faithful. He's good all the time. All the time, God is good. He was good at 586 BC for Israel and Judah. He was good during the Babylonian deportations. He's good in 2020, during COVID-19, during political whatever. God is always good. I'm going to tell you, that's the only thing that's going to lift you up. Be thankful, for he is faithful. And finally, he is faithful in his guarantee. If you want a different outline, here it is. There are always mercies in the midst of mayhem. God's resources will always meet your need. And delays don't necessarily mean denials. God is faithful. If God said it, He'll bring it to pass. Look at the text, verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him and the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Do you see what he's saying? God is good. He is always faithful. Now you be good. It is good. You be faithful to Him. Apostle Paul will say that. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Recall to your mind. For then you shall be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. That's what we must do. The mercies of God bring things to mind that help us serve Him and know Him and trust in Him and wait in Him. See, God had a plan that Jeremiah the prophet could not see in his day. Jeremiah, for 50 years, preached, didn't have a single convert. 50 years. You read this book, I'm telling you, there's a lot in it. It's dark. If you go in this passage, you think the entire book is like this passage, you're way off. It's completely sorrowful. You've got a widow in the beginning, the daughter of Zion crying. You've got a picture of death and destruction and all these descriptions, but Jeremiah wails. Even back in Jeremiah, God told him nobody would hear his message. You would never really see any impact, but it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were taken during this time, and they were the ones that somebody was paying attention. When they purposed in their heart, they would not defile themselves. Somebody was listening and watching as Jeremiah was weeping and preaching, because the Spirit of the Lord would come upon that one and bring wisdom and understanding. See, Jeremiah was being used in ways that he could not comprehend. In fact, if you think about this, in his greatest sorrow, God was using him to breathe out His inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved word. If that doesn't blow your mind, nothing will. Jeremiah's crying, said, "This is terrible." He is writing it out, and guess what? It's the Holy Ghost that's moving him to pen that. And we today say, "Nobody listens to me." You read it, it's like crying. He said, "Nobody's ever going to hear what I'm saying. I'm just preaching, and nobody's paying attention." All right, I've been places like that. Nobody listens. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares, and he's crying. Seems like a few thousand years later, we've opened our book to Lamentations, and we can hear him. We're studying it. We're being blessed by it. See, Jeremiah didn't see the big picture. Listen, you may not know the big picture, but know there's a God in heaven who has a big picture. And He loves you. His loving kindness is eternal, forever. Mercies, His grace, His goodness, His gifts. You just trust Him. And He'll take you places and He'll do things through your life if you live for Him and serve Him and love Him and care for Him. Listen, He'll use you in ways that maybe you'll never see this side of eternity. Like Jeremiah, you can be used. I want to tell Jeremiah, if I could just transport myself into time, I probably wouldn't want to go to the streets of Jerusalem during this time, but maybe deliver a message, okay? I would want to tell Jeremiah, "Hey, prophet, hold on. Have hope. Focus on the mercies of God. Just keep serving. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Keep recalling to your mind," because he kind of loses focus in chapter 4. And then chapter 5, I don't even want to study it. It's all over the place, okay? Just keep focusing on God. Focus on His mercies. Just quietly wait and hope. Do you see what he said? Bear the yoke. An oxen, how many of y'all work in farming have seen this? An oxen would bear the yoke in plowing the field. If you go up to that oxen and say, "Hey, Mr. Cow, whatever, Mr. Ox, could you give me the outline of this field and tell me what is the purpose for this yoke?" An oxen, he can't tell you what the purpose is. He just knows he needs to keep walking and keep going and bear the yoke, because at the end of the day, there's a field that needs to be plowed out, and there's a seed that needs to be planted, and there's a harvest that would come, and that oxen would benefit from the harvest that he's sowing. Listen, you may not know, you just keep going. That oxen may be, that yoke may be on, you bear the yoke, you keep on walking, you keep on praising, you keep on believing, you keep on serving, you keep on filtering all of what's in front of you through the framework of the theology and theological framework of the providence of God, and say, God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm going to keep on walking. God is faithful. God is faithful. I don't know what's going to be in this field in front of me, but God is faithful, and I'm going to bear the yoke in my youth. And we face dark days and deep difficulties, and we experience circumstances that seems like, as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah Lamentations 3, it seems everything's dark and our progress is impeded, and we feel like we can never pray again, and it seems like we never get a voice to sing another song of praise because there's nothing it seems to sing about, but there's always something to sing about. It's the Lord's faithfulness. Psalmist says in Psalm 73, 26, my heart and my flesh faileth. How many could say that today? The heart is your will. It's weak, isn't it? Amen. The flesh, your body, is weak, isn't it? Here's the answer for your heart and your hurt. Psalm 73, 26, my heart and my flesh faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. How many of you know that to be true? Jeremiah knew, just as God said Babylon would come. If you really think about it, God had given that prophecy to Jeremiah years, decades, specifically. Jeremiah 29 spells out specifically the person who would come, the people that would come. And he warned them for 40 years. One of the greatest proofs of the Bible is that the prophecies have been fulfilled. And Jeremiah preaches, hey, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming, Babylon's coming. And nobody listened. One day Babylon came. Jeremiah's crying, and then he thought, hey, wait a second. If God said Babylon would come, and they came, he's saying there's another that's going to come, and his name is Jesus. And God said that the seed of Abraham would bless the nations. God said that a seed of David would be seated upon his throne forever. And Jeremiah didn't know this, but Jeremiah was a type of Jesus. Because one day, Jesus would go and enter into Jerusalem, and he would be weeping, just like Jeremiah, over the soon destruction of that city. In fact, he prophesies about him in verse 30. He will give. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He'll be filled with reproach. There would be one that would be coming who would be confronted with bitterness and gall. There would be one that would lament to his father in the garden of Gethsemane and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There would be one that would turn his cheek to him that smiteth. There would be one that would be filled with reproach. There would be one that would be offered wormwood and gall. There would be one that would go to the cross of Calvary and bear the curse that we deserve. And as a result of what Jesus did on the old rugged cross, we can have hope. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The gospel is our covenant hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He died so we can live eternally. He came here so we can go there. God is faithful. He is faithful in his grace. He is faithful in his gifts. He is faithful in his goodness. He is faithful in his guarantee. And even when we see, especially when we see the chastisement of God and we see the punishment of God are seemingly all around us, we can say, God said it would happen. But God also said that one day he's going to return again and receive us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, jot these verses down and we'll be done. God is faithful. So the Old Testament, the word faithfulness is found. You don't find faithfulness in the New Testament. You find the word faithful. You don't find the word faithful in the Old Testament, but you find the word faithful in the New Testament. Why? Because God, through his act of grace in this age of grace, is demonstrating completely his faithfulness to us, even more than what Jeremiah experienced at his time. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, Sarah trusted God. She judged him faithful who had promised. And so she bore that seed in obedience and fulfillment of the command. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. 1 John 1:9, I like this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 1 verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. In Revelation 19, verse 11, when heaven is open one day, the Bible says that a white horse will come riding, and upon it, him that sat upon that horse will be called faithful and true. And one day when we see Jesus, his name will be called faithful. How can I be thankful this year? Be thankful he's faithful. That's not only who he is, that's his name. He's faithful. He's true. It's not as bad as it could be. You keep holding on to the mercies of God. You keep receiving the compassions of the Lord new every morning. You keep holding on to his word when all seems dark, even when it's allowed in the sovereignty and providence of God. When the outlook is bleak, try the uplook and declare, great is thy faithfulness. There's a young man named Thomas Chisholm who lived in the 1800s. We've sung this song. I mean, I know the story. There's a young man that was born into poverty in Kentucky. He was uneducated, but he had a desire to preach. He eventually got his dream. He was ordained, but because of poor health, he could only remain in the pastorate for a year. He couldn't keep the pace and responsibilities, so he stepped out of the ministry. 1 year was his ministry, and he thought all was done, all was finished, and the rest of his life, he tried to sell and do certain things in business, but he couldn't keep it going, so he often just would lay in his bed and he would write poems. And as he laid in his bed, he said, I can no longer preach behind a pulpit, but I can take my pen and I can write words of encouragement. And he said, my income has not been as large at any time due to my health, which has followed me, but I must never fail to record the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God. He went on to write 1,200 poems and hundreds of songs. One of them we sang earlier in the service, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So I don't have much of a ministry. 1 year and I'm off and I'm in bed the rest of my life writing poetry. But guess what? Years later, we stood and we sang that song today. Aren't you thankful for that? He didn't see the big picture. The song actually went unnoticed. It wasn't the top 20 hits. It didn't reach the Christian radio networks. I don't think there was one back then, but a Moody Bible Institute professor found it and said, that's a good song. He requested it in chapel services so much, the song became the unofficial theme song of the college. George Beverly Shea heard about it and found it and sang it at the Billy Graham Crusades, and literally in front of millions of people across this world that have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they heard Thomas Chisholm's song that he wrote while in bed, just writing about the faithfulness of God. God can use you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Think about it. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above. Everything goes through motions and change. Joined with all the nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Think about it. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I've needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's